But Jesus is saying, if you come to me, I will give you a new heart that dares to live for an audience of one, with eyes only for our Father, to see his smile and know that it's enough. Look, Daddy, I did this for you. It's all for you.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you've joined us for this series through the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Pastor Philip, what? I got to ask you, why use the language of audience? It's not like we're on a stage or something in our lives, or are we?
Well, I'm really using that language because that's how Jesus presents this whole analogy. He's talking about religious hypocrisy, and he's tying it into those play actors on the stage, on the Greek theater. And so the whole imagery is like, if you're on the stage, whose eyes are you paying attention to? Are you living for the applause of the audience of humanity? Or are your eyes trained on your heavenly Father? Like, who are you performing for? Are you performing for men or for God? And so even today we have a social media platform, and, you know, so we even use this language in lots of ways today. We are, in a sense, living our lives on a stage, on a platform. There are people watching. And the question is, who are we living for? What is this life for? Who are we offering this up to? Everything we're doing in life, are we looking to God as the audience of one, the one that we're living for? Or are we trying to live for the approval and applause of other people? And if so, it's actually tainting our righteousness and it's destroying us in the end. And so Jesus is calling us to live for an audience of one.
Oh, listen, you want to make sure you stay tuned after the message, because Pastor Philip, he's going to speak into these areas where we're most tempted to announce our good deeds. But now, let's go to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we discover the audience we really should be living for. This is part 3 of the sermon, Religious Hypocrisy. Our text today, grab your Bibles, we're in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 48, and we'll go all the way into chapter 6, verse 6.
We need a heart that is made right in the kingdom of heaven, that lives in the freedom of secrecy, the freedom of secrecy. Jesus is once again offering us a new heart alive in the kingdom of heaven. If we will come to him and believe in him and follow him, he will give us a new heart by the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to follow Jesus into the abundant life of the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does that look like? Verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Remember, friends, Jesus is not laying down a new law. He's illustrating a new heart. He's not laying down a new law. He's illustrating a new heart. He's not saying that if someone finds out about your giving, it's null and void, it doesn't count. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I can give you the kind of heart that gives not to be noticed by other people or even to pat yourself on the back. That's your left hand, your right hand, don't even know. Nobody cares who gets credit, left hand or right hand. You're not even thinking about it. I can give you the kind of heart that is undistracted in its loving affection for God and God alone, where you are simply his child and he is your Father and he sees your generous love and his delight is all that you need. I can give you that kind of heart. Verse 6, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, not a new law, but a new heart. I can give you the kind of heart that seeks the face of God. It doesn't matter if anyone else knows about your prayer life. You're a beloved son or daughter of God. And he's attentive as your Father. And there's nothing that matters more than simply being with him. Verse 17, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, not a new law, a new heart. I can give you the kind of heart that hungers after God, that cultivates an appetite for Him and Him alone, that isn't starving after the attention of humanity, but is satisfied by God, who is the strength of your heart and your portion forever. In other words, I can give you the heart of a child delighting in the smile of our Father. That's what He can give you, the heart of a child delighting in the smile of our Father. Friends, do you realize if you have, listen, all the smiles of earth can never compare to the smile of heaven. Amen? And if we have the smile of our Father, then we can face the frowns of anyone, because we know His pleasure rests upon us. Friends, do you realize on the cross, Jesus forfeited the smile of God so that we might live in the Father's smile forever? Do you realize on the cross, Jesus bore our sin that we might be made righteous? Jesus faced the wrath of God that we might be embraced by His mercy? So that as sons and daughters of God, friends, we have nothing to fear, and nothing to hide, and nothing to prove. And so we can quietly go about our righteousness without show, without fanfare, without drawing notice, simply in the quiet, unassuming goodness of childlike faith. Just say, look, Daddy, look what I did. It's for you. When I was a kid, I used to play soccer. And whenever I was little, I would run out and I would score a goal. And you run back and you're cheering, you're so excited. I would always look for my dad on the sidelines, beaming, cheering me on. And as I got older, I continued to play soccer, and it started becoming about the trophies and the tournaments and the scholarships and the newspapers and the crowds. And it just ruined the game for me, because it became all about pressure and performance and proving myself. And I lost the beautiful simplicity of a heart of a child delighting in the smile of his Father. I just lost it. Friends, the same thing can happen with religion, with morality, with religious goodness. We can twist it, and it becomes ultimately about social acceptance and a moral track record or spiritual notoriety or ministry achievements or popular recognition. It's all about pressure and performance and proving ourselves. And into that space, Jesus is inviting us, calling us back to the beautiful simplicity of the heart of a child delighting in the smile of our Father. As Jesus will say later in Matthew, unless you turn and become like a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Come, come, trust in me, follow me, and I will give you a new heart, the heart of a child, in the kingdom of your Father, who has nothing to fear, nothing to hide, and nothing to prove. I can give you the kind of heart that lives in a kind of quiet, unassuming goodness of childlike faith. Just look, Daddy, look what I did. It's for you. It's for you. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you, because He sees you and He knows. And He smiles, and it will be enough. It'll be enough. So here's the takeaway, friends. Will you dare to live for an audience of one? Will you dare to live for an audience of one? I got this phrase, audience of one, from Oz Guinness in his book, The Call, where he's describing the Puritans, the 16th and 17th century Christians who lived, as he says, as if they stood before the audience of one. The Puritans knew that all the smiles of earth were nothing compared to the smile of heaven, and that if they had the smile of their Father over their life, they could face any frown that came their way. And they faced a lot of them. But Jesus is saying, if you come to me, I will give you a new heart that dares to live for an audience of one, with eyes only for our Father, to see his smile and know that it's enough. Look, Daddy, I did this for you. It's all for you. So how do we live this week? Do something Jesus-like and don't tell anyone. Keep it secret. This is the brilliance of Jesus' instruction here. If you do something righteous, do something good, do something that would normally impress other people, and just don't tell anyone. Why? What does that do? You'll find that your heart wants to break silence. And it shows how much you're living for the applause of humanity rather than the smile of God. So don't tell anyone. Don't post about it on social media. Don't get up at 6 a.m. and get your Bible out with a cup of coffee and like Instagram it. Like, I mean, we're all probably a little guilty of that, right? Good grief. Don't even think too much about it. You'll find yourself going, that was a really good thing I did, and I kept it secret. God must be really impressed by me. That's the left hand and the right hand talking about it, okay? Just stop that. Don't even think about it. Just let it go into the background. Just do something good. Trust that God sees it and ignore it. It's harder than it sounds. Jesus is teaching us how to exercise our souls in the habits of actual genuine righteousness that's not tainted by human approval and applause and all the twistedness that we can make religion into. He's teaching us the habits of a heart that is righteous before God. That's the Spirit will lead you in that. He will guide you into this kind of righteousness, so that the quiet smile of heaven begins to eclipse the thunderous applause of humanity. And knowing that our Father who sees in secret will reward us turns out to be just enough in the end for our souls. Don't you want that? Let's follow Jesus, friends. Let's follow him.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and before we start our discussion today, I just want to let you know that this program is made possible because of generous supporters just like you. And as a thank you for your gift today, we have a resource we'd love to share with you. To get your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. We're so glad you've joined us today as we explore living for an audience of one. Now, Pastor Philip, you told us that we do something like Jesus and we don't tell anybody about it. But come on, there's some stuff we do, if we're going to be honest, that there's some good deeds that are just begging to be posted on social media, or we just kind of slip them into our conversations about our recent act of kindness or generosity. So there are some of these high temptation areas that where we practice this secret righteousness. Tell us about them. Mm-hmm. This week, can we give somebody some encouragement for this week? How can they practice this secret righteousness?
Yeah. Well, that's what Jesus is so brilliant at right here, is he's, by saying do it in secret, he's blowing up the construct of why we would run after the applause of humanity, right? So in other words, when you do something good and you do it quietly, it's amazing how much your heart wants to speak out about it, to post about it, to drop it into a conversation. You know, anytime we're doing something new and good, we feel like boy, I got to make sure other people know. I find this in my own heart. Like if I'll get up and go for a bike ride in the morning, I like cycling, and if I'm feeling pretty good about, man, I'm disciplined. I'm, you know, it's easy to just sort of drop that little pearl, you know, well, you know, I had a bike ride this morning and is, you know, and it's all of what it's, just that little play to the audience. It's a little way to just get a little attention, a little bit of, you know, and it's insidious. It's in all of us. And so that temptation is there. And that's where Jesus' instruction here is so brilliant, because he's saying, actually, just by doing something and keeping it secret, you're slowly rebuilding different muscle memory. You're training your soul not to do things for others and the approval and all that seeking after attention, but to do it before God, because he sees and he knows and he will reward you. So that quiet, secret obedience moves us into a different place. We're sort of training our souls in different ways. And so that's very practical, isn't it?
Yes.
And so we can say, okay, what does that look like? And for everyone, it'll be different. Mm-hmm. But to do something that would honor Jesus, that would be goodness that might normally impress other people, and they just don't say anything about it. Keep it quiet, keep it secret, and just sit with that. And let it retrain your heart and redraw your attention to the smile of heaven that rests upon you. You're doing this for the Father, not for men.
Simple, but not easy.
No.
So you referenced, you know, in Matthew 6 that don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So what am I supposed to be focusing on when I'm doing these righteous deeds? Where should my focus be?
Yeah. So that idiom, don't let your left hand or your right hand know what it's doing. He's basically saying you can actually do goodness for your own sense of self-approval. So he's talking about don't even do goodness just so you feel good about it. Mm-hmm. Because there's kind of a self-narrative where we're like, you know, I'm really a good person. You know, other people drove by and didn't help this, you know, person broken down on the highway, but I stopped. I stopped. Yeah. And Jesus is saying, even that, you may not post about it or tell other people about it, but even just the self-congratulations that you're giving is not what this is about. You're doing good to feel good rather than doing good to honor God, right?
Yes.
And so again, we're back to motivations. And Jesus isn't wanting us to be self-loathing or self-congratulatory. He wants to give us the freedom of self-forgetfulness, to just not worry about yourself so much. Mm. And to just sort of allow the goodness of the kingdom of God to start oozing out of your life in ways that are impacting the world around you, and to not be too impressed by yourself, to just be free, to just do what God's calling you to do and do it for him, and not have to sit around and stroke your ego on the inside. That's what the left and right hand thing is about. Don't even worry about yourself too much.
Yeah.
Don't do it for others. Don't do it for your own sense of self-congratulations. Just do it for God and let his smile be enough.
Some of our listeners may be lay leaders, they're teaching Sunday schools, and they say, you know, I want to promote this. So how do we encourage this secret righteousness in fellow believers, the people that they're teaching in their classes or even in their families? How do we encourage that in our churches, they may ask?
That's a really good question. And I don't know if I have a perfect answer for it. Because, I grew up in church and, you know, we had these charts, you know, and did you bring your Bible today? Did you memorize your verse? You know, did you show up? And you get the little stars on the chart, you know? And I get why we do that, because but it's rewarding externals, isn't it? Mm. It's rewarding behaviors. And ultimately, God wants our hearts. And I think of like some of our kids' programming where you get little badges or little rewards or little accolades for doing good Christian things. And those are good in a sense, but God is ultimately after more than our behaviors. He's after our hearts. And so while I think even with my own kids, we were training them up and creating reward systems that we want to reward the right behaviors, at the end of the day, all of that is meant to ultimately put them into a place where they realize it's ultimately about the heart. It's about a heart that is right before God, that understands his grace, that realizes we're not good in and of ourselves, that he's our righteousness, and that we've got to trust in him And then when his righteousness is what we're living in, we have all the acceptance and approval through the gospel. And from that, we can live with gratitude and love and devotion and worship. And that's what it's about. Mm. And so I think it is a danger, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we focus too much on externals. So I think we probably can't get away from it ever. There's always going to be human applause. It's not inherently toxic. It's good that we congratulate each other and reward each other and affirm each other and encourage each other. But we've got to pay attention to the heart underneath all of that, because that's what God cares about. And we ought to be living for an audience of one at the end of the day. And that's going to come down to each one of us.
Yeah.
And so I think as we shepherd people, we've got to move beyond the reward systems and beyond the applause and the encouragement. We got to really just attend to our hearts and really reinforce the gospel, that's the thing that really matters, is that Jesus' record performance track is the one that matters before God. And we in him, we're forgiven, we're cleansed, we stand in grace. That's what really matters.
Amen. You know, but this isn't a once in a lifetime thing. It isn't that, you know, I am going to perform for an audience of one. I say that one time and now.
Hereby resolved.
Yes, it's done. This isn't, right? This is part of our sanctification, and we got to get centered day by day in this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's whose face are you looking toward at the end of the day? Whose smile matters most in your life? Are you living for your own self-congratulations? Are you living to impress the leaders around you, the people around you, your peers? Are you trying to fit in? Are you living for the audience around you of humanity? Or are you looking to God himself?
Yes.
And I think we just have to learn to retrain the eyes of our souls to look to the right face and to look to our Father. And so that's where like spiritual disciplines are just so formative and helpful. That's why we get up in the morning and we pray and we say, God, this is your day. And I'm here to serve you, and I want to obey and live in gratitude for what you've done. Help me to honor you with this day, to live for your smile and not the applause of humanity and not for the self-congratulation, patting myself on my own back. That's not going to work. I want to live for you, you know? And you read the scriptures and you're reminded of who you are in Christ, and you listen to the Holy Spirit who's bearing witness that you're a child of God, and you're offering prayers and you're gathering with Christian believers in small groups and church circles, and you're reminding each other of the gospel and that who we are in Christ and that he's the one we're living for. And like all of that is reinforcing just where are our eyes focused on a day-to-day basis. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus.
That's
and the
right.
smile of the Father in our life.
Yes. The word tells us whatever you do for the glory of God. So whether you're flipping burgers or changing tires or taking care of actuarial tables, whatever you do it for an audience of one. You do it for God's glory. To help you keep your eyes fixed on what really matters, we're offering Pastor Owen Lutzer's booklet, Walking with Jesus. This resource reveals how religious hypocrisy often starts when we try to change from the outside in to impress others rather than letting Christ make a clean home in our hearts. Pastor Lutzer challenges us to move past the exhausting religious routines and find our total satisfaction in God alone. Becoming an endurance partner is a wonderful way to join this mission of transforming lives. This family of monthly supporters multiplies the impact of gospel truth through our radio and online outreach, making sure no one feels they must walk alone. Craig is a prisoner who listens to Pastor Phillip's teaching. He says, "What a joy it is to listen to God's word expounded upon and taught. Keep up the good work for Jesus." Beloved, when you become an endurance partner today, you can request Walking with Jesus and ensure that more lives are changed for the glory of God. Request your copy of Walking with Jesus for a donation of any amount. Simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Living for our Father's approval frees us to come to Him with childlike confidence. And next time, we'll talk about praying boldly as God's children. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.